The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
President Trump touting a productive call with Minnesota leaders after speaking with both Governor Waltz and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey to try and reach an agreement of how to ease tensions on the and amid the ongoing clashes in the state.
And Border Czar Tom Homan now preparing to meet with Mayor Frey today as well after being deployed by President Trump.
Yeah, the Trump administration is making some major strategic changes here in Minnesota. Tom Homan is now going to be the main point of contact on the ground and will report directly to the president. Border Patrol Commander Gregory Pavino had been acting as a lead here, even recently hosting daily press conferences. But Pavino is now returning to be sector chief in El Centro, California, and other Border Patrol agents are leaving Minnesota as well. Tom Homan will be calling the shots. Fox has previously reported that Homan operates differently than Pavino, whose aggressive tactics are considered more aligned with DHS Secretary Kristi Noem and top White House advisor Stephen Miller. It was also announced that Noem is set to testify before the House Judiciary Committee on March 3rd. Now, yesterday, the president said he had constructive calls with Governor Walz and Mayor Frey. Writing afterwards, Governor Tim Walz called me with the request to work together with respect to Minnesota. It was a very good call, and we actually seem to be on a similar wavelength.
Wow, on the same wavelength with Walz? It's pretty amazing. This sure seems like a retreat on the part of the Trump administration. Bavino's out, in goes Homan, and Kristi Noem's on the hot seat. So we'll see how that this plays out, but it's not exactly a good look for the Jeroboam administration here at home. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots and lots to get to. He had a lot of people are reporting on this, of course. He had a good call with both Walz and Frey, the mayor of Minneapolis. And isn't it amazing? Nobody, I think I heard President Trump say the other day, I don't like any killing. And of course, everybody can agree with that. But how do you prevent that from happening by sitting down with the ones agitating the killers, the ones agitating the protesters, the ones that are agitating for riot and for division? I mean, you see, in a lot of ways, you see the same approach with Hamas. I've got a story on that in a second. I mean, they're angling for a role in the so-called security forces in Gaza. And I'll play a video clip here in just a second showing that it's basically the radical left-wing protesters that are running certain parts of Minneapolis, even demanding people show their ID and so on. It's like it was in Seattle during the Summer of Love, where the authorities just stand down or they step back and let the thugs take over. And then we're supposed to solve the crisis by sitting down with the ones that are encouraging the thugs to take over. This is not good. As I said yesterday, I mean, anywhere that you look in the world, you see evidence of Satan's influence, his involvement, his fingerprints. They're all over the place. And it also shows just how important the narrative is for the radical left. As we know, they control much of the media, the university. And here, President Trump, not just a year ago, he comes in, he wins every single swing state. I mean, it's about as close to a landslide as you can get in a divided nation. And yet here we are a year later. And already it looks like, I mean, maybe President, you got to give him, he is unpredictable at times. Maybe he's throwing a curveball right now. But it sure looks like he's dialing it back. This is from the Daily Mail. From myriad Republican congressmen to the NRA, they have broken ranks to condemn or at least challenge the federal government's behavior in the city of Lakes. I mean, how do you deal with How do you deal with these kinds of protests? And then, of course, what's triggering it all is the fact that they're going in and they're trying to get rid of the criminals that are here illegally. Not all the illegals, but just the ones that are carrying out criminal acts, rape, murder, and so on. And that people would rise in defense of the indefensible. How do you solve this kind of problem without a strong show of government and law and order? I mean, you look at the violence that it sometimes, you know, is in the midst of it. And then you obviously see, as I said yesterday, that it's going to spread from city to city. But, you know, appeasement's not going to make it any better. Appeasement's going to make it worse. Appeasement is surrendering to the radical forces. And you can be sure every other big city in America is taking note. I mean, they're paid actors, so many of them, these protesters. So they'll just move to the next hot spot. And President Trump can claim, you know, well, we had success in New Orleans and Memphis or wherever, and that's all we're trying to do here in Minneapolis. But you surrender one time, and these radical forces, they'll take note. The dissenting voices include that of key Kentucky Republican James Comer. See, here's all the weak Republicans. It's just not a good look. I mean, and you read between the lines, and you see that it's all politics. Even Republicans in Minnesota, they're up in arms. How are we going to win an election if ICE comes in and does its job? Obama used ICE, and now suddenly ICE, they're fascists, they're Nazis. So many weak Republicans. How do you think Abraham Lincoln would have dealt with something like this? It's an insurrection. Note the reference to Good and Preddy as innocent lives. They're innocent. And ICE is guilty. Here again, they keep using the terms murder, execution, and so on. That could not be further from the Trump administration's condemnation of the pair as domestic terrorists and would-be assassins. They show up with a gun. What if in 2021, January 6th, what if MAGA, they roll up to the Congress, Capitol Hill, several of them have guns, they rope things off, and they start demanding anyone that shows up, show me your ID. Here are these radical leftists who will take a right arm off in order to keep making sure that illegals can go to the voting booths and not have to show any kind of ID whatsoever. But now, I mean, you've got to show some ID. You've got to make sure if you're coming into this area, you're a radical leftist. Senator Pete Ricketts, Nebraska, a usually loyal supporter of Trump, called the shooting of Preddy horrifying, adding, my support for funding ICE remains the same. Enforcing our immigration laws makes our streets safer. It also protects our national security. But we must also maintain our core values as a nation, including the right to protest and assemble. Except on January 6th. That, it's not allowed then. You can't protest then. What was the General Flynn? He's the one that tweeted out, did the White House just blink? He tweeted that on top of another tweet that says, we're all going to be jailed, bankrupted, and potentially killed in the next 20 years for trying to save our country, all because Trump couldn't arrest these insurrectionists. Bavina was probably the strongest among them. Maybe Kristi Noem. But now, evidently, they're on the way out. And, I mean, Homan has made statements in months past that sound pretty good, pretty strong, but we'll see. Now you got to sit down with Fry. Now you got to sit down with Walls. I mean, to be on the same wavelength as Tim Walls, I mean, this is perfect for him. He's out taking victory laps. Nobody's talking about Somalia and sending billions and billions to these fake businesses in Minnesota. Nobody's even talking about it. And now you've got President Trump retreating Says here, Minnesota governor candidate Chris Modell provided one of the most damning Republican responses to the shootings by dropping out of the campaign. But with Preddy's killing, he claimed the national Republicans have made it nearly impossible for a Republican to win a statewide election in Minnesota. So there you go. ICE is out doing its job. And now we're going to be hurt. We're going to be hurt by it politically because, you know, Joe Scarborough, Rachel Maddow, you know, all the not-so-funny funny men at night. They're there calling ICE, calling law enforcement, fascists and Nazis. And how do you solve this? Sit down with those people? Sit down. Before we know it, Witkoff's going to show up. You're going to have Witkoff, Walls, and then whoever else. And we'll have a domestic board of peace, as I said yesterday. And everything's solved, right? I don't even know the exact figures, but of the 20 million, 30 million or so that are here illegally, and then the millions that came through just during the auto pin years, how many have actually been deported or how many have self-deported? It surely is just a sliver, a fraction of the problem overall. James O'Keefe, he's the undercover reporter, or at least the group that reveals so many of those undercover reports. He explained to Megyn Kelly that he was in Minneapolis on another assignment, and he just so happened to come upon the radical leftists in the streets that are basically running the show. Here's what he had to say, clip 7.
But what was striking to me is right when I parked my vehicle, as soon as I got out, it's negative 12 degrees, so every part of your skin is completely covered. They can't identify you. Immediately, 5 women who are white began interrogating me and asking me who I am and what my identity is. I've never experienced anything quite like this. I actually told them I was press, and they proceed. It was almost like they were going to do a citizen's arrest on me unless I identified myself, showed them my ID.
Yeah, I want to see your work on the phone.
Here's my press badge.
It's real. Just hand it to her.
Yeah, no, where? No. It's right here.
No, give it back.
These guys are not press. I looked up OK Media. It's from Portugal. They're not from Portugal.
Can I hold it?
And none of them are political at all.
Yeah, they're idiots.
Okay, we're not lying. We're not.
And they started throwing objects at me and my security guard. In fact, they actually patted my security guard down. They are the authority. I've never experienced anything like this. We try to go back to our hotel, Megan. We're staying downtown. And the person at the hotel signals to one of them. And we then realize that we're in danger. We have to leave our hotel. So we go to a second hotel. And we've got someone.
What? What do you mean he signaled? He told them that you were staying there?
Yeah. Yeah. These people have spotters everywhere. They have spotters in every street corner. They have people working at the hotels. They somehow got our license plate, rental car. My driver got a text message, a death threat from a burner number on his phone, which
you posted it.
I did post that, the death threat, yes.
It reads, "We know you're in Minneapolis. You're with O'Keefe and his crew of Nazis. You're in a white Ford license plate, and then you blocked it out from Florida. You have 1 hour to leave or you're dead." That was to your driver?
Yeah, that was not to my cell phone. That was to the driver of the vehicle who rented the car. We don't know. I've had the FBI reach out to me. I've had the Attorney General of the United States actually DM'd me. Bondi DM'd me this morning. And we're trying to figure out if we can trace it, but that was not to my cell phone. That was to the driver of the car, which I speculate they ran the tags and found out who rented the vehicle.
Who are the thugs here? I mean, they're spotters. They're tracking cell phone data. They're controlling the streets in certain parts. At least Pam Bondi DM'd him. Where is Bondi? Where's Cash Patel? I mean, you take out Kristi Noem and you take out Bovino. Not, as I say, not a good look. Many other Republican politicians, including Representative Michael McCaul of Texas, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Susan Collins, you know where she's going to stand, have determined more information on Preddy's killing. or demanded, I should say. Republican Representative Max Miller of Ohio said on social media that there are serious unanswered questions about federal use of force in Minnesota. Excessive force. Disproportional. We'll be hearing that word soon. Just like you do when Israel does anything. After just over a year of a Trump administration that has caused barely a ripple of dissent from within the Republican Party, even as it has repeatedly sent shockwaves around the world, the significance of this revolt can hardly be exaggerated. It's a revolt in the Republican Party. That's what's the big concern here. It's amazing how politics always, always is the most important takeaway. How does it look politically? Who's got the advantage with respect to the narrative? You know, on the other hand, you see how much President Trump is going up against. But showing strength and the courageous lion-like spirit, Operation Rising Lion, there comes a point where you cannot apologize. If there's collateral damage because you're trying to uphold law and order, but look at, they're just lining up, these Republicans. They're just lining up to denounce Trump or Bovino or whoever. Certainly not the protesters, the paid actors. This is weakness. I mean, this is Isaiah 3 weakness. It's Isaiah 1 sickness. It shows us that the problem's not going to be solved. They're certainly not being solved because we're repenting of our sins. But then when you can't even send in the law enforcement agency to at least have a little crackdown. I mean, these protesters, they're doing everything they can to get in the way of a legitimate arrest. You know, ICE going in and arresting an illegal who's committed a criminal act. This is really mind-boggling. It's unbelievable that it's happening. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal on Sunday, Trump said his administration is reviewing everything about the Preddy shooting. See, he doesn't like killing. Well, nobody does. But it's like with Hamas. I mean, if Hamas is going in and inciting killing or doing it exactly themselves, how do you deal with that? How do you confront it? How do you stop it? White House insiders have reportedly complained privately that winding down their immigration crackdown in Minnesota would amount to capitulation to the left. But it's difficult to see Monday's developments are as anything but a winding down. So that's the Daily Mail, Fox News. I mean, that's a conservative, a supposedly conservative outlet. Hannity, I think he made a statement last night saying, you know, that's not a good look to go into the Best Buy or whatever and to make an arrest there. Well, if the illegal is there in Best Buy or wherever he is, I mean, maybe there's ways they could be a little discreet. I don't know. All I know is that it's impossible. It seems like right now, the most impossible job in the country is being an ICE agent, because you're going up against the paid actors. You're going up against the narrative. You're going up against Republicans. You're going up against everybody. You can't even do your job. The one sector that they're supposed to go up against are the criminals. I mean, this seems about as clear cut as you can get. It's not to say that there's never been an agent who's made a mistake. But you just send them off to California or fire them and get them, the ones presiding over the operation. I don't even know much about Bovino. But, you know, the man was communicating each day with press conferences. And he was carrying out his responsibilities. It really is something that just shows how many problems that we're dealing with at the moment. That clip I had at the very end, this is number 15. This is Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, in a World Tomorrow program that he gave back in December of 1984.
Man without God is all mixed up. He cannot solve his problems. He can think of material things. He can get along with matter. But when it comes to getting along with other minds, that's where the trouble comes. One mind does not get along with other minds, and so we have troubles in the world. And that is the source and the foundation of all of our troubles in this world. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote, "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus." But Adam rejected that mind. He rejected the mind of God. He rejected reliance on God. Said he would rely on himself. And mankind has been doing that ever since. Nations have trouble. Individuals have troubles. They can't solve their troubles or their evils. So God closed up the tree of life. And he closed it until the second Adam, Jesus Christ, would come.
That's from 1984. He mentioned there the clashing of minds. And he says in Mystery of the Ages, the book that he distributed in 1985, all the evils and troubles in the world are caused by minds clashing with minds. That's some pretty important insight given to you by God's apostle at that time. He died in 1986, of course. But that's what we're seeing. Minds are clashing. We can't get along. There's troubles everywhere. People are taking to the streets, even when the temperature is minus 12 degrees, because they're so filled with rage. You look at the Hamas comparison, as I said earlier. This is from Reuters. Hamas seeking a role for its 10,000 police officers in Gaza ahead of disarmament talks. What? There's 10,000 Hamas police officers still in Gaza? That's right. Yeah, and they haven't even disarmed? After everything that's happened? After every negotiation or piece of paper that's been signed? That's right. They have not disarmed. And now they're beginning to flex their muscle. I mean, they're negotiating muscle. We have a role to play here in keeping the peace. Hamas is seeking to incorporate its 10,000 police officers into a new U.S.-backed Palestinian administration for Gaza, sources say, a demand likely to be opposed by Israel. Well, I think that's probably going to happen. I think Israel probably will say, you know what? I don't think we can support this. This is insanity. I mean, that it's even making headlines. Here's Reuters. I mean, Reuters probably sees, yeah, I think this will make things work. I think we're on the same wavelength. Hamas, Israel, U.S., Palestinian negotiator. Well, who? Witkoff, certainly. Whoever. I mean, it's like President Trump said last week with the Board of Peace. We want everybody. What does it say when you're on the same wavelength with someone that's out there stirring up strife, division, and even murderous, hateful acts? Back to that cold open. Governor Tim Walz called me with the request to work together with respect to Minnesota, President Trump said. It was a very good call. And actually, we actually seemed to be on a similar wavelength. So is that a good thing? To be on the same wavelength with Tim Walz, who was pretty much just about run out of office 2 seconds ago. This Hamas story at Reuters. In a letter to staff on Sunday, seen by Reuters, Gaza's Hamas-run government. Hamas still runs Gaza. Hamas still has a 10,000-man police force in Gaza. That's right. You heard me right. Gaza's Hamas-run government urged its more than 40,000 civil servants and security. Oh, so they've got 40,000 in all of the strip. Yeah, civil servants, police force, they're still running the show. And now they're making demands. Isn't that nice? to incorporate them into the new government. That would include the roughly 10,000-strong Hamas-run police force, four sources familiar with the matter say, a demand that has not been previously reported. Many of them have been patrolling Gaza as Hamas reasserts its grip in areas under its control. The force is armed, as are other members of the Hamas internal security forces, and its members sometimes wear uniforms. And so what should we do with this? Well, I mean, talk to them, negotiate, appease. Just pull back, let them have what they want. And then, only then, will we have peace. When we come back, we'll get to that story that I just ran out of time for yesterday on the show. Big news in Europe, in Germany. Lots happening there. And, of course, nobody in America is paying attention. Nobody cares. In fact, the only thing that really gets their attention is when we hear about America pulling out of Europe, or when we hear about NATO blowing up so that America doesn't have to worry about NATO or do anything with NATO. We'll get to that when we come back. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
And some of us, my friends, know not only what we see when we're over there, but we know also what is prophesied. And we know what is prophesied to rise up in Europe. And we know which is the one and the only nation in Europe that is capable of dominating, and which is the economic and the industrial heart of all Europe, without which there could be no stability and strength. A human body cannot live without its heart. And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany.
Europe will reunite, and they will form a new empire, a new nation, political, with one currency, one military force, one government.
They are losing confidence in the United States as having a military umbrella over them to protect them. And they want their own military force to protect themselves.
What they want is political union. What they want is one military force. What they want is one great world power.
There is going to be a resurrection of that old Roman Empire. Not very many people believe it, because people have gotten completely beyond really believing that the Bible means what it says. You're going to have to live and see it, and you're going to have to know that God was speaking when he said this thing is coming.
Gradually, and now faster and faster, a new power is being developed from underneath the surface, a new world power, which the public now least suspects, which the world does not yet see, doesn't realize, doesn't dream is coming, but it is developing just as prophesied in Europe
a resurrected Roman Empire. You watch it happen, my friends. Now, that's prophecy. That is the word of God. We didn't gain anything by making an ally out of Russia, now, did we? Just look into past history. You see if we're going to gain anything by trying to build up the United States of Europe. You see if we're not building a Frankenstein that's going to turn on us and destroy us. Most of you will live to see it. You remember that I told you and that I spoke by the authority of Jesus Christ.
Every time I hear that, it's amazing to think about just how precise and how accurate. Okay, so it took a few years longer before we see it finally emerge. But he talked about Europe wanting a one currency, one military force, one government. I mean, they've got the union there. They're, you know, bickering and so on and so forth. But, I mean, we can see it. And now the push for the Euro force, the currency's there. In the trumpet brief this morning, the EU is the world's largest. Before that, EU signs another monster trade deal with India. Today, the European Union concluded negotiations on another enormous deal. I mean, this follows Mercosur from just a week and a half ago. The deal with India is, in some respects, even bigger. Both deals have taken more than 20 years to negotiate. All of this is designed to bypass America. For those in the Trump administration, I hope you're listening. If you think that Europe has zero leverage, you better think again. They have some leverage. You've got this trade union between Europe and Latin America, now India, and of course the Bible says that there's going to be this alliance between these two major power blocks in the last days, Europe and the kings of the East. I mean, that's coming. And it's all designed to freeze out America. The Bible, this is from the Morning Brief. The Bible prophesies the formation of two major new power blocks in our time, a united Europe under German leadership and an Asian superpower under Russian leadership. That's Revelation 17 and Ezekiel 38. You can add to that the King of the South, headed up by Iran, radical Islam. There was a story yesterday, I didn't get a chance to get to it, but Iran, during this most recent uprising, there's reports that they executed 36 or 37,000 Iranians, their own people. Now, you talk about a government that goes in there and puts down protests forcefully. That would be Iran. We are nowhere even remotely close to that. We're just trying to get a criminal out. But you can't even do that in America. Look at the way you talk about some Gentile justice. That's how they deal with uprisings. That's what they think about democracy. These two blocks, and then these two. Isaiah 23 contains a prophecy of a brief alliance between the German-led Holy Roman Empire and certain Asian powers, Russia, China, Japan. I mean, if they lock it up with Russia and China and Japan, Europe, I mean, it pretty much looks like Isaiah 23 is in place, the Mart of Nations. And yet, as I played for you last week, you've got comments from the Trump administration, not worried at all about Europe, not worried at all about NATO blowing up. I mean, we're for NATO, but is NATO for us? President Trump and his people keep saying. Listen to this from Deutsche Welle. This is clip number 3.
I think it's an urgent necessity for Europeans actually to be able to defend themselves and to take security matters into their own hands. It is now time to take matters into our own hand and defend our security. But the truth is, Europeans are not weak.
I am absolutely certain that Chancellor Merz and I both share another truly fundamental point of view, and that the main debate in Europe shouldn't be about what we expect others to do for us. Our primary debate must be about what we can do for ourselves.
What we can do for ourselves, apart from America, of course. Deutsche Welle says Berlin and Rome sign cooperation agreement. That's Germany and Italy. I wonder how that has gone historically. Germany and Italy are deepening defense and economic cooperation with the leaders of the two countries signing an agreement in Rome. Well, Rome's where the Vatican is. This is interesting. It should be. Germany, Italy together in Rome. Strengthening the ties, the cooperation between the two. Never mind history. Nothing to see here. Nothing alarming here. Oh, no. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz, Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni agreed to closer cooperation in the production of drones, naval vessels, underwater systems, and air and missile defense systems. It says there's no hierarchy in Germany's relationship. In Germany's relationships, we're happy about every country with which we have such close and cooperative relations as we do with France and Italy. And we know that we can only move forward together in this European Union. Listen to this from France 24. This is clip two.
Some people are saying Europe is facing an existential crisis and that the last week, the threats against Greenland, what's happening in Ukraine, are existential crises, and they feel as though they don't understand why the French and the Germans aren't getting along.
There's definitely a sense of urgency, I feel. So
last Friday, Friedrich Merz goes to Rome. Mm-hmm. Sees Giorgia Meloni, the far-right head of a coalition government, and there extols that they can get along, together they can help to simplify Europe. The message was kind of like, is this the new motor for the EU, or is France sidelined? So is the beating heart of the EU shifting from a Paris-Berlin axis to a Berlin-Rome axis?
The beating heart. Same language Mr. Armstrong used decades and decades ago. Yes, Europe is squabbling. Yes, France wants more authority. Is it shifting, this guy asks? The axis between Berlin and France, is it now shifting over to Italy? Well, I think it might be. And I think that might be significant. I think that might be worthy of some U.S. coverage. But you'll notice, we got to go to France 24 or Deutsche Welle to just get anything on this. Because over here, I mean, it just puts Americans to sleep. We don't care what Europe does. We don't care that there's a new German war machine, a new alliance, or a stronger alliance between Germany and Italy in Rome. Doesn't matter. America first, right? We got to deal with problems in Minneapolis. Well, maybe not. Maybe we should just back off in Minneapolis as well. The problems, I mean, they are going to pile so high that you're going to, as Isaiah 3 says, nobody's going to want to lead. I mean, right now you've got someone in there who very much wanted to, and God cleared the way so they could come back. But the problems have not gone away. Not at all. And you've got a large section of MAGA that doesn't even want Donald Trump doing anything with Europe. This was Tucker from, I think, a couple weeks ago, clip five.
NATO was going out anyway. Is it really bad that NATO's going away? No, it's a huge victory for the world and for the United States.
This is Tucker Carlson saying NATO going away. I mean, he can see it coming. Everybody can now. I mean, they didn't back when we were saying it was going to happen 20, 30, 40 years ago. But now that it's happening, I mean, MAGA's celebrating. MAGA wants to see NATO blow up. It's good for the world. It's good for America. It gives Germany free rein. It's what Germany's always wanted. Deep in their heart of hearts, it's what Germany has wanted. Listen to this montage from The Key of David, my father's program, clip 16.
Germany is back. And they're leading Europe once again. And we said after World War II, we'd never allow that to happen again. Britain said that. America said that. France said that. But here they are back with power and leading Europe already. and making deals behind the scenes, as Stratford points out here. Notice what he says. Or Germany could act like its own state and create its own security guarantee with Russia, something that would rip NATO apart. See, Germany's not concerned about NATO. They don't want to be a part of NATO. They will use it to their advantage until they make that clear to us. But again, they're not people we can rely on. But now something terrible is happening, if we understand Bible prophecy. The article goes on to say, as Deutsche Welle noted, the new headquarters, quote, will not be integrated into the current NATO command structure. Instead, it will be established under German sovereignty. Well, how about that? And all the nations of Europe just go along with it. And everybody in the world just goes along with it in spite of Germans' history and what they have done in the past. Will they repeat that history? Your Bible says they will. Then the last quote, Ambassador to NATO K. Bailey Hutchison said that if recent European military developments become, quote, a protectionist vehicle for the EU, it threatens to splinter the strong security alliance that we have. Well, now, splinter is not a strong enough word. It's going to tear apart NATO. Remember, the Bible says you'd better be careful. Your lovers are going to turn against you. Now, all of this is happening, and what it's going to do is to wreck NATO, and that's really the very purpose of it. Why would they want to wreck NATO? Well, I think you could see why Vladimir Putin would want to wreck NATO. But so does Germany, because they're thinking about the Holy Roman Empire and having their own power now, and they've just about maybe gotten all they can from America. So they're ready to move on and have 10 kings rise up in Europe and build an awesome power according to Bible prophecy. What is really going on here? What is happening in Europe? So there's a lot of plotting. A lot of plotting that we just don't understand. Now, I'll tell you this. When you think about this man having all this to do with that pipeline, and he is Putin's friend, you'd better think about that, because you know if he's working closely with Putin, there's a plan here to destroy NATO.
That was from 2008. You know, Tucker, now this month, he's applauding this development. But to be talking about this some 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago, get as much as you can from America, and then when that runs dry, then move on. Move on from it. That's what we're seeing. This article I mentioned yesterday, Europe, European leaders are pushing for superpower status. The headline exactly in Telegraph, the plans to turn Europe into a new superpower. Wow, you've got a new German war machine, and now you've got a new European superpower. These are the objectives. These are the goals. And here again, you can dismiss it and say, well, nothing to worry about here. It's no major threat. They don't have any leverage. The United States is going to be top dog, superpower for the ages. But what happens when they come together? 10 kings. What happens when the kings of the East come together? What happens when the kings of the East and the king of the North come together in a trade agreement? Well, then you've got some power. You've got some weight. You've got some leverage. It's amazing to see Israelite leaders so blind, so naive, so foolish. At an emergency summit of European leaders in Brussels, the building blocks of a putative empire were beginning to take shape, says the Telegraph. Donald Trump's threats over Greenland have just exposed Europe's weaknesses. Russia's Putin wages war on its eastern flank. China's Xi Jinping is a relentless competitor. In a brutal new age of world powers, the EU wants to build a bigger, richer, stronger, super Europe, able to resist the dangerous whims of the globe's autocrats. And of course, right in there, right in that grouping of autocrats, well, Donald Trump, of course, Orange Hitler. He's as bad as Putin. Maybe worse. Maybe worse. This is an article later on in my notes. Growing anti-Americanism. 61% of Germans see Trump as a threat to the country. 61%! They see Donald Trump as a threat. Listen to this from Friedrich Merz at Davos last week, clip 10.
This new world of great powers is being built on power, on strength, and when it comes to it, on force. It's not a cozy place. The world around us is changing at unprecedented pace. Europe has gotten the message. Germany has as well gotten the message. We must and will live up to these challenges. My government will do its homework and pursue an ambitious reform agenda revolving around security, competitiveness, and European unity.
I mean, we're not talking about some backward third world country that's saying we've got an ambitious plan. We're going to build a war machine. We're talking about Germany. Germany. There he is right in front of the world. And of course, this has Jeroboam's blessing. He's saying it's a world built on power, on force. It's not a cozy place. So we need the war machine. We need to lead a European empire. Listen to this from the Telegraph. The EU is often compared to the Holy Roman Empire, which Voltaire said was neither holy nor Roman nor an empire. It's often compared to the Holy Roman Empire. Here again, these are like headlines that you would read in The Plain Truth in 1955 or The Trumpet Magazine in 1995. Now it's in the Telegraph. The plans to turn Europe into a superpower. And then it says, yeah, it's often compared to the Holy Roman Empire. To avoid the same accusation, it needs to streamline its decision-making, but that means giving up powers to Brussels. Well, then it talks about how that it's, you know, there's a lot of squabbling, they're divided, there's 27 member nations, I think it is, and one nation, just one little nation, can block everything if they need a unanimous vote. It says now no one raises an eyebrow when decisions on Ukraine are made by 26 without Hungary, where elections will be held this year. There's a new appetite. Now listen to this and then consider where you heard it first. There's a new appetite to move forward on important matters in smaller groups of member states if necessary. I mean, that's Revelation 17. That's 10 Kings. If it's necessary, and of course the times are demanding this, listen, the world's not a cozy place. It's a world built on force. So we've got to, you know, work in a smaller group if we have to make sure all 10 members are of one mind. I mean, these are electrifying developments of Bible prophecy. That's what we're witnessing. Says here, this is from, well, Deutsche Welle. Berlin, Rome signed the cooperation agreement. I gave you that earlier. Both Germany and Finland refused to join Trump's Board of Peace. So NATO's blowing up, the big dust up over Greenland. And now Germany's not in the Board of Peace. Why, I wonder? Why? Why are they refusing? The Board of Peace is going to bring, well, it's going to bring eternal peace to the earth. Seems like everyone would want this. Well, I took you through that last week about Putin coming in, Canada going out. Can't have Canada invite Putin, and then Germany says no thanks. Is that the recipe for world peace, for eternal peace? Hamas backers are in, Putin is in, Canada's out, Germany says no, Trump says it's the best thing ever. This is a clashing of minds, like Mr. Armstrong said. It's so obvious. And everything I've gone through in this segment, I mean, it would put your typical American viewer to sleep. Who wants to hear about, you know, Italy or Finland or NATO? Come on. Listen, Trump, he's sending in the Gestapo to Minneapolis. That's the real danger. That's the real threat. Listen to this commentary from, I think his show is called The Breakfast Club. This is clip number 8.
I'm going to tell y'all something, America. I don't know how dark or how bad things are going to get, but I keep hearing people referencing 1940s Germany. But I want y'all to remember something when you are bringing up that history. The Nazis ultimately lost. Nazi ideology was outlawed through denazification. One day we will see the demagification of this country. It will come. And you know what else happened? Leaders of the Nazi regime were prosecuted and tried as war criminals.
It's the perfect storm, isn't it? We're arriving at 1940s Germany, and this guy's talking about MAGA as if it's Nazi Germany. So you can see half the country's going to be saying, Trump's a fascist. ICE, they're Nazis. Even as the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, the beating heart of which is Germany. Even as it rises in Europe, and it'll just be a snooze fest as far as that news is concerned, because you can see what so many of the commentators are going to be preoccupied with. You know, my father's made this point many times over the years, that prophecy in Daniel 11 and verse 40, the clash between the king of the north and the king of the south, and how that when that happens, I mean, America, Israel is not even mentioned in that prophecy. They've gone silent. They're going to be at a point where nobody wants to lead, Isaiah 3. They're going to be at a point where the domestic problems, trials are going to be so bad, so severe, that people on this side of the Atlantic, they're just going to be utterly unconcerned about anything that happens abroad. The stage is being set. We're being lulled into we're not lulled into a sense of complacency with respect to the problems here, because everybody can see it. And as I said yesterday, everybody's got their version of what happened on the video. It was ICE's fault. No, it was this other guy's fault, the protester. It's a perfect storm, as I say. I gave you this yesterday on the show, Matthew 24:42. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be you also ready. You got to be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Here we're coming up to 1930s, 1940s Germany, Europe, and you've got people just fixated on Orange Hitler. That's the Hitler that they're going to be targeting. They're going to be attacking. They're going to be going after. Even as the latest iteration of Hitler actually forms, actually emerges in Germany, in Europe. Stunning, really. And you can see how so many of these prophecies are just laying it out there for us perfectly. God, it makes you appreciate what God inspired thousands of years ago. He said through the Apostle Paul, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. The world's going to be shocked. Mr. Armstrong talked about how it all happens suddenly. And that's why Jesus told us to watch and to pray always. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.